20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. It's Thursday. The weekend is near. Your Thursday crew is here. You like how I did that, Mark? I am Jason Perrone, one of your co-hosts of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, also of the Quick Slants Podcast at Game On Wisconsin, along with Mark Eckel of Packer Report. Mark, real football to talk about. It commenced yesterday.
Yeah, well, as real as training camp is.
That's true.
It's not as real as it used to be.
Yes.
I'll tell you that. I can tell you training camp stories when I first started covering, where they actually like hit, and they went 2-a-days, and you were out there for 4 hours sometime, it's funny when I talk to former players who are now doing radio, say, or TV, whatever, they're in the media, so they're at practice, and they just and they'll look at me, and I'll look at them, and they'll just shake their heads like, man, this wasn't. I came around way too soon. Mike Quick, the former Eagle wide receiver, great wide receiver. I'm sure I don't. Is he before you? Do you remember Mike Quick?
Yeah, before me.
Okay, great player. I mean, Eagles were bad when he was good, but he was very, very good. But he would always hold out of camp, always. He would say like, my contract or something, but he. Deep down, he just didn't want to be at camp.
Didn't want to be there.
Yeah, he thought it was a waste, and he didn't want to get it. He just hated it.
Well, if you listen to Andrew Brandt now, the big thing players are doing is holding in. They're showing up, but they're not practicing. Like Roquan Smith, I think, did that for the Bears.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's in Chicago, but
there's fines and stuff.
Yeah, so, of course, every Packers fan wants to sign Roquan Smith, even though,
Or Quick's contract would be up, and this was pre-free agency, so he wasn't going anywhere, but he just – he wouldn't sign until, I got to be, now we're very good friends, but I got to be close to him and his agent, and, it's like off the record, he would say to me, they could offer me more than I want, and I'm not signing yet. I'm not coming in until the first, I'm not coming in until we're ready to play. He says, right. I'm not going. And back then, camp started like 2 weeks sooner, too.
Right.
So,
2 weeks sooner, anyway, and you could actually practice and touch one another in practice.
Yeah, I would see him, my last couple years in Philly, and he's their radio guy now. He's their color analyst on the radio, and I joke with him that, man, I'd have been for this camp. I wouldn't miss any of this. This is easy,
Right.
But yeah, it's funny getting older players' perspective on what camp is like now, as opposed to what it was in the 80s, 90s. I mean, it's nothing. It's not even close.
Right. No, not
at
all.
But anyway.
Not at all. Well, the weather wasn't too bad. It's a little rainy in Green Bay, but let's start as far east as we usually go. And this is Robin Eriksson, who is from Oslo, Norway, but he's actually in Sweden, took a drive across the border, spending a little time at the local lakes and canals over there. So, says... nothing but sun and blue skies, both places. High temperature of 68. Not too bad. Not too bad over there in Sweden/Norway. And then our friend Felix in Germany says high of 81, low of 63 at night. So no triple digits anymore, but which is crazy to me. And when we get to our friend Isaac in Northern Illinois, he speaks to the weather in Europe and how everybody thinks it's so anomaly and all these hot temperatures, and it's really not that crazy. But it's still warm in Germany. And as far as Europe goes, that's all we got. So we're already on the mainland here, and we're at Myrtle Beach where Mark Eckel resides.
Yeah, it's warm. It's been high 80s, kind of that mugginess still a little bit. No rain. We haven't gotten – it hasn't been rain. The rain stopped last week. So it's just been typical end of July, hot, humid, mugginess. Being on the beach makes a big difference because you get that ocean breeze, but it's still been – it's been warm.
Right. Okay. Well, it's cooled off a little bit. Yesterday it was 84. Today 78 and sunny for day two of camp.
In Green Bay.
In Green Bay.
That's perfect. You don't want it too hot.
Or humid.
Camp, obviously. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Or humid. Otherwise it gets a little crazy. And then
although they only practice an hour and a half. I mean, it's not like a, you know.
Yeah, I saw that.
Hour and a half.
90 minutes. Not too bad. That's a lot less time than they used to, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You're probably sweating your butt off out there in the summer. Like,
here we go, and then come back and have a second practice.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, there's something to be said for both ways, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, still hot. Still hot in the oven out here.
Triple digits?
No, we're actually double.
Oh, under 100.
Only 96 today.
Wow.
96, right. Partly sunny. It's not going to get up to, we're going to hover in the high 90s for the next couple days.
Okay.
So, not too bad. And then our friend out in Harry, much of the province is under a heat warning, which is crazy because, remember, I mean, you know, I say this every week, the winters. Heat warning in Kamloops, fear of forest fires, which is something he's talked about before. High of 102, lots of sunshine. Jeez.
That is hot.
He asked if we have any suggestions for meals that don't involve stoves or ovens because he doesn't want to.
Salad.
Yeah.
Nice salad. Nice, you know.
And actually, I forgot to mention Isaac. Isaac in Hampshire, Illinois. So, temperature in the 70s has returned. Perfect for the start of training camp. And he said that we were talking about weather and one small tidbit on that part of the world. He said, this summer trails only 2003 is the hottest and driest summer of the past 40 years in Europe. So it is real out in Europe. But he said here, in the U.S., it's only slightly hotter than normal so far as temperatures go, where everybody feels like it's so hot. We keep hearing about the drought in California and all that other kind of stuff, but it's, you know, it's summer. Obviously, it's warm weather, and football's right around the corner, and they did break practice, but before they took the field, Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur both spoke to the media on Wednesday, so I thought we'd start there. And I had a chance to watch a little bit of, I was working a little bit, so I had a chance to watch a little bit of both. So the GM, Gutekunst, spoke first. I felt like it was a lot of typical Goody. He had some positive things to say. Obviously, he's happy to be under contract again and get that taken care of, had some good things to say. I don't think he really shared anything too earth-shattering. So, Mark, I'll start with you. What was your biggest takeaway from what Goody had to say?
Well, I wanted to know, about certain players that, you know, the Packers in the last couple of days put some people on PUP and
just a few.
Non-football injury. So I want to know about Bakhtiari. I wanted to know about Christian Watson, and I want to know about Sammy Watkins. Mm-hmm. And then all the other guys, too. Well, the first thing, there was good and bad. Good news and bad news came out of it. Good news, he began the press conference by telling us that Dean Lowry and Patrick Taylor are okay. They're off PUP. So whatever they had was very minor, obviously. And they were both cleared, and they're able to, so they were out there for the first day of practice. Bakhtiari, we really don't have any answers yet in terms of when he's going to play, if he's going to play, what, they said there's no timetable. He did use a quote that he's cautiously optimistic, which is better than being cautiously pessimistic, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He did say that Bakhtiari had another procedure on his knee, so that's why he's set back, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
But he was asked if this is career-threatening, he made it clear, no, this is, you know, this procedure probably, you know, it's going to take a little time, but... And he still didn't rule. He didn't even rule out opening day yet. So again, we're really up in the air on Bakhtiari and what's going to happen there. Good news, he said. Elgton Jenkins, a guy I forgot to mention at the beginning, Elgton Jenkins, who is on PUP, is doing great. Quote, doing great, and is ahead of schedule. So that was good news.
Yeah, Jenkins was running a little bit at practice.
Yeah, that's you love to see that, right?
Yeah.
I mean. Sammy Watkins, who went on the non-football injury list, no big deal.
Not long-term, right?
Right, short. He said short-term.
Yeah.
Meaning he could be back tomorrow, by the end of the week or over the weekend.
Sure.
Not a problem at all. Now, Christian Watson also had a procedure on his knee, after the mini camp. So he's going to miss, to quote, again, the quote was he's going to miss a little time, but it's not a long-term thing. Well, that bothers me because rookies can't afford to miss time, even a little bit of time. I mean, rookies just, a rookie wide receiver from North Dakota State can't miss time. So I'm almost willing to say this could be I don't think remember last week that we did our rookies and impact and all. Uh-huh. This kid ain't making an impact. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, Ron, he's not making an impact.
Well, do you think so? Is that your take? Is that kind of your cautious take on this whole season, or do you think definitely at least not right away? Maybe we'll see later.
I don't think he does anything this year.
Okay.
I mean, I take that back. I shouldn't say he doesn't do anything. He's not. I mean, he might, because he can run, right? So he may make a big catch in a game somewhere. He, I guess he could still be their kick returner if they go that route with him. You don't need a lot of reps to be a kick. I mean,
but he's not going to be a breakout rookie, is what you're saying?
No, absolutely not. I didn't think, my feelings on him anyway. I wasn't crazy about the pick when it happened. And I just don't think any rookie, but especially a rookie wide receiver, trying to get on the same page with your MVP veteran quarterback, can afford to miss a lot of reps.
No, he can't. No, definitely not. And, I mean, practice, and like you said, there's less days also of practice.
Yes, less practices, less days.
Fewer games, fewer preseason games.
Yeah, so I mean, and again, when and the Packers, they always, if they say a guy's out 4 to 6 weeks, it's 6 weeks. It's never four.
Do you remember?
It's at least six, if not eight.
I know. I used to have a running joke. I used to have a running joke with my former Pulse of the Pack co-host Jacob Westendorf. I used to always joke whenever there was an injury, I would just say it's a knee. He has a knee. It's a knee injury. Because it was like with Mike McCarthy, everything was a knee, and it was 4 to 6 weeks. Yeah, geez. I know. Well,
but it's never the lesser.
Never the lesser. No, it's always the longer. Well, to your point, no, I think that you have a valid concern. And I'm more okay with the Christian Watson pick, but he does need to be out there. Rookies need to be out there because the adjustment to the pro game, it starts on day one. And if you're going to be a player in the offense or on defense, you've got to get used to being around pros. You got to get used to the speed of practice. The speed of the game is a whole other thing. I mean, they're going to be wide-eyed, and they're going to be like just drinking through the fire hose anyway. But you might as well start getting used to drinking through that fire hose now. And Christian Watson. So the one thing I said, and I know that we chatted about this a little bit too, and it doesn't really doesn't necessarily translate on the field, because on the field you've got to be physically gifted and be talented. But I do think the Packers have a strong history of drafting guys that are smart. So if even though he didn't go to a premier school or Division I school, I think that he's got to at least be smart enough to where they're like, well, when he does get out there, he's going to at least know where to line up, and stuff like
that.
Now that not that makes a huge impact right away, but yeah, these. And him having a procedure, it's like you would like to think the Packers knew coming in what was going on with him. And so that was either intentional, or if it was unavoidable and they're just like, you're just going to have a procedure, then they know that.
He must have did something. He did something at minicamp.
That could have been.
He did. Something happened at minicamp. And the way they spelled it out was he could have got it done now, which he did, and gotten it out of the way and come back whenever, or they could have waited till the end of the year and had it done. But then he's playing all year with it, and it could get worse. B, it could hamper his play.
Right.
So that's probably the smart thing was to get it done now. But I just wonder. I just think it's going to, like I said, rookie wide receiver in a perfect world. We've seen the Packer rookie wide receivers. I did a story about it after the draft. The best ones, didn't have great rookie years. Antonio Freeman and Robert Brooks and Donald Driver and Jordy Nelson and, I can go on and on. Javon Walker, who was their last first-round pick as a wide receiver.
Yeah.
He had an okay rookie year. Okay. you know, the Packer wide receivers never win rookie of the year. Let's put it that way.
Right.
Most of them don't even start. They're fourth, number four and five. So even in a perfect world, I didn't think Christian Watson was going to make a major impact. Now with him missing time, and you know how the quarterback is, right?
Yep.
You know how he is.
Mm-hmm.
We all know how he is. He's not going to throw to this kid.
Yeah, he has to believe. He has to truly believe before the ball's coming to you.
If this kid's out for whatever many weeks, Rodgers is going to forget he's on the team.
Right. Yeah.
Who's that?
This year, remember, Rodgers said, "I don't care about potential. I want production." Well, you ain't productive. You're not producing anything on the sidelines. You know, there's no better ability than availability.
Right.
So, but speaking of rookie wide receivers, Romeo Dubs made a couple plays. Yeah. Today. Now, it was against Kavion Edto and some other guys like that too, but he made some plays, and he's one that has had some higher hopes. I think there was a lot of lot out there that said, hey, he could get some opportunities to be a contributor, and obviously rookies are as receivers going to probably have more opportunities than they have in past years with no Devontae and just the fact that you need more guys and you need depth, and there's the question marks, right? Christian Watson's a question mark. Amari Rodgers is a question mark. Dubs is a question mark because, you know, they're both Rodgers hardly played receiver. So there's more spots up for grabs. So I think that's good. We'll get a chance to, I think the Packers will get a chance to see what Dubs is. I didn't hear anything about Ture. I don't know if he did any work with special teams or with the receivers today, but Dubs had a pretty good day.
Dubs, right? Yeah. Again, it's first day of practice. We joked last year when, Paul and you and I, when we were together, how you guys are going to be on Twitter, you know.
Refreshing.
Seeing every play. Well, you know, I always joke that, yeah, the guys who star on Wednesday might not do anything on Thursday. And guys who look bad on Thursday might come back and have a great Friday. So don't get your hopes too high on somebody that had a good first day of practice, and don't get too down on a guy that might have had a bad first day of practice, because it's one day, you know, there's a long way to go. But no, it is encouraging that Dubs, I think Dubs will at least contribute as the return guy. I think he's definitely going to be their punt return guy, and maybe he might be kickoff too.
Right.
So I think he will contribute as a rookie. I mean, the Packer wide receivers, like you mentioned, you know, Rodgers and Watson and Dubs all being inexperienced and not, but even the three veterans, if we're talking about Alan Lazard, who had a good day apparently at practice, Randall Cobb, Sammy Watkins, what did the three of them have in common? None of them play 16, now it's 17, but none of them ever play a whole season anymore, right? I mean, that's three guys that get hurt. I mean, if you tell me right now, if you can promise me that Cobb, Watkins, and Lazard will combine to only miss two games all year, I'll tell you that the Packers are going to be pretty good, and the receiving core won't be as much of an issue as a lot of us think it's going to be.
Right.
But you can't, but I don't think you can promise me that, can you?
No. Wouldn't bet on it.
I mean, most, you know, Cobb is getting, you know, he's missed time every year now since he left, when he went to
Houston.
Where did he go first? Dallas?
Oh, Dallas. Houston, yeah, Dallas.
Dallas, then Houston, then came back. He hasn't played a full season, right? I mean,
no.
Watkins hasn't played a full season in forever. And Lazard, I mean, people don't, you know, everyone leaves him out of that equation, but he's missed time every year, right? He missed time. He missed some games last year, and he missed it the year before. So they, you know, the football gods kind of owe Green Bay a little bit, don't they?
The football gods don't care about anything, and they definitely care about the Packers and the stories. I mean, we've had so many, like, just absolute, like, storybook situations that they could care less about, and they slam the book shut on us, so.
Well, just the law averages say they have to be a little healthier this year, man.
It depends on what. I guess they're grading on a curve. Then, if there's law of averages, that's my cheesy math joke. It probably didn't make sense, but well, all right. So, what about
Lazard? Did play a full in 2019? He didn't play a lot, but he did play every game.
He did.
Then in 2020, he only played 10 games.
Yeah.
And then
hurt himself in the that's right, hurt himself in New Orleans and he missed with that core injury.
Right. And then last year he missed a few games.
Yep.
So I mean
everybody's a risk to miss a few, and so it's like, you know, everyone's gonna have to rotate in. I mean that's probably one of the reasons why the Packers might end up keeping seven.
They might
end up. I mean, so what about anything else from Goody, or what about Matt LaFleur? Any comments that they made? I mean, I think I was glued into the same thing you were. It was players, Bakhtiari, what else?
Well, one thing that Goody said that I picked up on this. I didn't see a lot of people write about it or anything. And maybe that's a foregone conclusion, but I didn't think it was until Hadley said it. They signed. They found a few guys on Tuesday, I guess, right before camp started. They got rid of a couple guys and they brought a couple other guys in. They signed that wide receiver that played in the USFL. He was on the championship team in the USFL out of Mississippi State. I can't think of his name right now. I should have written it down, but he's a big guy. He's like 6'5". He's a possession type. Is it Marshall or Mitchell?
Osiris Mitchell.
Mitchell.
Yeah, Osiris Mitchell.
And again, I don't think that's, you know, but they also signed Dalen Levitt
from the Raiders,
who I looked at him. I'm like, oh, okay, this is another special teams move. But Goody made it clear that this guy's on the team. When you do your 53-man roster, update it, put him on. He's moving ahead of the Vernon Scotts and Ennis Gaines and maybe even Sean Davis for that. He might be your third safety, because Goody pointed out when he was asked about him and his role on special teams. And Goody was quick to add, you know, he played a lot of safety too now. He played like over 300 snaps for the Raiders last year on special teams. So the Raiders special teams last year were okay. They weren't the best in the league, but they were like in the middle of 15, 16, I think, ranked in the middle of the pack. Well, the Packers have their, from all indications, the Packers have their two best special teams players from last year now. Mm-hmm. And Levitt and Nixon. I'm going to say something right now. Now, right, it's what's today's date? 28th. Well,
28th, July
28th. And it's, I don't know what it is. So whenever you're listening, this is either going to come back and our listeners will kill me about it, or they'll come back and say, hey, Mark was right about this. Special teams are going to be, I'm not going to use the G word. I'm not going to go that far. But they're going to be better than average. This year.
Was G be great or good? I can't
either,
tell.
Either one.
Okay.
I wasn't going to say G. So I'm not going to go that far. But they'll be better than average. And from where they were, that's a hell of a leap. But I really believe it. I think they've done enough. They've done a lot. The new coach is going to make a difference. The players they've added now between this Levitt and Nixon and Carpenter, the rookie. And, you know, they're going to keep some of these other guys, whether it's Daphne or Davis, a tight end, or Summers is still probably going to be around an inside linebacker. The special teams are going to be – they're not going to kill them like they have. And they might even be – they might even make a couple plays. How about that?
Mm-hmm. No, that'd be great. I mean, think about this. If they were just average or even slightly below average last year, they at least get to the conference championship game.
Yeah.
So I'll take that. Although we don't know if the offense is going to take a step backwards, but the defense will be good this year. You said it, and I'm, you know, we're bunny trailing off here, but getting off. But you said it. This is going to be the year of defense and special teams, and you're going to see a lot more 21-17 games. What did you say then? 28-27, right?
Or 30. This is going to be a different. I can't remember the last time the Packers have looked this way, and I, you know, it's not going to be what we're used to as Packer fans watching them. It's not going to be like
the laser light show.
How many times in the past years, I know I did it, and my friends that are Packer fans who I watch again, just hold them to a field goal and then we'll go get a touchdown. Right. I mean, that's how we'd watch the game sometimes. Like, oh, they held them to three. That's good. Now, come on, Aaron, go down. Let's get seven and make it 7-3. No, it's not going to be one of them back and, you know, and shoot it out. And, I mean, that's not, they're not going to be able to win that way. So I think you're going to see a lot of the offense. I think is going to be more of a ball control running. I think the running game is going to be much more.
Yeah. Pound it out.
I think in their mind and what they want to do is the offense gets the ball and they run 12 plays for 70 yards, and they take 7.5 minutes off the clock, and then they score, right? And it's 7-0. They kick off, the defense gets a 3-and-out or forces a turnover.
I love those long, like, just killer drives that where the other defense is just exhausted by halftime.
Yep. And then your defense gets off the field quick, and now you put that tired defense right back out there again. Mm-hmm. And then maybe you can hit them with something. But
yeah,
this is going to be. And again, I could be wrong. Maybe these wide receivers are going to go wild, and one of the tight ends will emerge, and it'll be still the wide open passing game that we're used to. But I think every move they made has been the improved defense and special teams.
Rich Bisaccia obviously highest paid coordinator, special team coordinator in the league, but the Packers went big and said, you know what, let's just fix this and let's do it. And they actually talked about it, and there was rumors they were going to do it, and then they actually did it. Can you believe that? Now, there was one of those types of rumors that got shot down earlier this week where a lot of Packers fans were hoping the Packers were going to do it. There was rumors they might do it, and then it didn't happen. And, of course, I'm talking about Julio Jones ending up in Tampa Bay, which I'm completely okay with. I'll just ask you real quickly, Mark. I think you probably are too, but you might surprise me. Were you okay? I'm completely fine with Julio going to Tampa. $6 million for 1 year.
Yeah, I wouldn't give him. That's not. I wouldn't have minded Julio at half of that. Like, you know, if he wanted to come in for, you know, $2.5-3 million, like Sammy Watkins didn't even get that much.
Right. But when they signed Sammy Watkins, to me, the Julio dream to me seemed pretty out of reach. It's like, I think they made their choice when they signed Sammy Watkins.
Probably. And they're not, listen, 4 or 5 years ago, Julio Jones was arguably the best receiver in football.
Yep.
Right in the mix. I mean, when he was in Atlanta, you know, he was a monster. He's not that guy anymore. He just isn't. And that, there's a reason he didn't sign until July 27th, right? I mean, if he's still Julio Jones, he signs the day after free agency starts, right?
There are still some Packers fans, it just blows me away, and some of them are probably listening to this show right now, who just, once a name goes to another team, and maybe part of it was that he went to Tampa, and Tampa's kind of a rival right now, and Brady and all that kind of stuff, but they literally act like this season is so different for the Packers now because they didn't sign Julio Jones is in 31? An older, not old, I didn't finish my word, older veteran who, like you just said, was still available on July 25th. Come on. Like,
and again,
I think the Packers are going to be okay.
I I wouldn't have been upset if they signed him. I wouldn't have said, oh my God, what did they do that for? But I would have been like, I would have been hoping that he had that one last, and that's what Tampa's hoping for, that being on a winning team, you know, having a great quarterback, he gives him that one last. He has that one little bit left, and he has it, and it. You know, what I'm saying, that fantasy ending for his career. You know, because he went to the one Super Bowl and they blew the lead.
And he got there because he got to torch Ladarius Gunter in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah,
all the way. Were you still? When was the last year you covered the Eagles?
I was still covering that year. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was definitely still covering that.
Well, did you cover in 2018?
No.
Okay. Because the opener, that was when the Falcons went to Philly in the opener.
They lost.
And Julio had a chance to make the catch at the end. And if I'm remembering correctly, he got some flack for that too. But
I watched the game, obviously. Mm-hmm. I blame Matt Ryan played awful that game. Awful. Yeah. Like he always does in big games, and especially in Philly.
Yeah,
that's why Colts fans who think they got Matt Ryan,
they got duped twice in a row because they had Carson Wentz and now they had Phillip Rivers. Now they have Carson Wentz and now they got Matt Ryan. It's like, when will they learn?
I mean, a team that chokes all the time with a quarterback that chokes all the time, that's going to work real well.
Well, that's the AFC South can enjoy that. I guess that's not really a Packers issue, but
right.
But yeah. Okay, so. Going back to the offensive line, because that was another big thing, because Bakhtiari's out. So with regards to Bakhtiari, you already kind of covered it too. He did speak to the media. He sounds optimistic. He says that I've played through broken bones. I've been sick. I've played. Like, I am not done. So he has said he's not done. I know the Packers are optimistic and hopeful that he can come back. He did have a third procedure on this knee. So it's the it's the never-ending, you know, knee gate. And so I guess as soon as it stops building up with fluid and being inflamed, then he'll be able to come back and play. But that's obviously a lot easier said than done. But it is interesting when you watch Elgton Jenkins, and it's like he had this, he had ACL surgery, and he's out there running around. David Bakhtiari, a year and a half later, he's still got his stuff going on. So what we wanted to know was, with those two guys out, was what would the offensive line look like when they open practice? So we know that the starting lineup with the first team when they opened up practice on Wednesday was Josh Nyman at left tackle, John Runyon left guard, no surprise there. Josh Myers center, no surprise there. Jake Hansen at right guard, and they moved Royce Newman out to right tackle.
Yeah, and that's what it looks like right now. The second line had Zach Tom at left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
The kid Manet, the undrafted rookie at left guard. Hansen was with the second team as well, but he moved to center. Sean Ryan was at right guard, and Cole Van Lannen, the Wisconsin kid, was at right tackle. So I think just there's competition now. I think left tackle, left guard, and center are set. I think that's as long as Bakhtiari's out, it'll be Neiman, Runyon, Myers. I think there's no competition there. I think it's only a matter of time before Sean Ryan beats out Jake Hansen. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe Hansen, you know, he's been around a couple years. They seem to like him a little bit. He still wouldn't be there. They're giving him the opportunity. But we've seen this before where the Packers make the rookie win the job. They don't hand it to him.
And so they've trotted Jake Hansen out. I mean, they really like Jake Hansen in the summer. He's played so much, and he's had to, because the veterans haven't played. Like, I remember the Buffalo game last year. Everyone gave him a hard time because he wasn't very good at center.
Right.
But there was no one else really to play. They weren't going to play their veterans, and they were holding them out of preseason games. But it is interesting that he was among the ones and playing at guard. It just, he's never really done anything that's overly impressed me. And I know that you've got to, like, I think to your point, that's why we didn't see Zach Tom or Ryan out there, because it's like, hey, we're not going to just throw you out there unless you're Josh Myers. And it's like, well, there is no Corey Linsley anymore. Right.
Myers was a rare case where they handed the rookie the job.
Which
they didn't hand Elgton Jenkins the job.
Mm-hmm.
He was splitting time with Lane Taylor,
mm-hmm.
and then Lane Taylor got hurt. And then
he was also a second rounder too. I mean, that's a higher pick than some of these other linemen that they picked. And if I'm not mistaken, I think
they were all four and beyond.
Yeah,
but I'm saying Jenkins was a second rounder, and he didn't get the job. They didn't hand him the job.
Right.
So. They, you know, and who knows how long it would have gone. I mean, I think it was only a matter of time. We all knew Jenkins was going to beat Lane Taylor for that job. It was a matter of when the Packers decided to make it, and then Taylor made it easy for him by getting hurt. But again, unless Sean Ryan isn't as good as I thought he was, and obviously as good as the Packers thought, because they took him in the third round. So I'm just surprised. I thought Sean Ryan would be battling for the right tackle job. But it looks like, and Matt LaFleur said this when he was asked about Ryan in particular, I think the question was with Bakhtiari and not being able to practice right now, and Jenkins also out, would Ryan get more reps outside than inside? And he said, no, anything could happen. We'll see. But right now we're looking at him at inside. So they must, when they drafted Ryan, they must have liked him more as a right guard.
Than a tackle.
I guess.
Like you said before, they love tackles, and they love taking tackles and turning them into.
Oh yeah. Almost every lineman on this team played tackle. I mean, Runyon was a tackle at Michigan, mm-hmm. Newman was a tackle at Ole Miss. That's why he's back out there now. And Van Lannen's going to have, I mean, just because Newman got the first reps the first day of practice, they could come out later today, the Thursday's practice, and Van Lannen could be with the ones, and Newman could be with the back at guard, and Ryan could be with the two. you know, their hands could be, you don't know. I mean, I've been through enough of these. Now, again, it's a little shortened, so you kind of want to know what you're doing, but they could change up. It's just what happens on Thursday and Friday could be different, and next week, you know, they're searching for the right combination. So whatever seems to gel the most and work the best is what they're going to go with. And hopefully they want to, hopefully, Bakhtiari comes back and it makes everything a little different.
Oh, there are a lot of fingers being crossed amongst Packers fans on Bakhtiari.
And Jenkins is eventually going to come back too. Mm-hmm. So think about that. When they get Bakhtiari and Jenkins back, they're going to have like not just a good starting offensive line, they're going to have some pretty good depth.
Yep.
So yep.
They got some tough games right out of the gate. They got the Vikings and the Bucks within in the first three games, and then the Bears sprinkled in the middle there. So
Bears stink.
They do. The Bears do stink for sure. I mean, that's not even the word.
Of their first five games, four are against rookie coaches.
Right.
That's not a bad way to start.
The Bears still suck, Mark. You can say it. I'll say it for you.
All right, you say.
There's certain words. I know you're.
No,
you're,
I just. Didn't,
you're a good guy. You're a good guy.
Were you aware of that? That four of their first five games are against rookie head coaches?
I hadn't thought about that. That's actually a really good point too. But that can go a couple different ways. I mean, look how well Matt LaFleur started out as a rookie coach. I don't think any of these guys are Matt LaFleur, but
that's rare.
Yeah, I don't think any of these guys are Matt LaFleur, which is a big compliment to LaFleur,
and they might be. We don't know, but even if they are, I mean, generally when you come in and put a whole new Matt LaFleur, and again, I don't want to take anything away from Matt LaFleur. I think he's done a wonderful job as head coach of the Green Bay Pack. I mean, 13 wins every year is pretty incredible, but he did have Aaron Rodgers.
Well, on paper, you'd like to think the Packers have the advantage. They got the quarterback, and they've got a head coach who's very successful.
I mean, you know, and well, Todd Bowles has Tom Brady, so that's not bad either. But, you know, I'm just saying, you're playing rookie coaches that early in the year, I think is a nice little advantage Packers have.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it works out, because especially if they're going to be without some of their studs, they have guys that are going to start the season on pup. I'd rather have an easier path early. I don't care. Just win games, because I want them to.
You know, the two division games will be tough because they're division games. You know, but I'm not big on Minnesota. I don't know. I think they're okay.
No, I don't. I'm not either.
The Bears, I don't think are any good at all.
Minnesota's going to be what I call a piss and vinegar game, which is like it's week one. Teams haven't like figured themselves out yet, and you've got this. You know, it's in Minnesota. You've got this little X factor, however big or small you want to say, of Za'Darius Smith, and I don't even know if he's going to start. I mean, I don't even know if he's going to be healthy enough to play in week one, but he's got this grudge factor and just stuff like that. Like I could see it being like a weird week one game. And so regardless of who you think should win, maybe they don't, but that's fine. I mean, they got 17
week one's
games.
Crazy. Look, yeah. Things that happen in week one anymore because nobody plays preseason. So week one is basically your last preseason game.
And the Packers looked like it last year, unfortunately. That was terrible. I didn't want to talk about it. But
it's not just them. I mean, it happens. I years ago, I went back like week 12 or 13 and looked back at some of the things that happened in week one, and you couldn't believe them. Like teams that, like, I forget what team it was, but like team A beat team B, you know, easily. And at that, now 13 weeks later, team A was like 5-8. And team B was like, you know, 10-3.
You are talking about the 2003 Buffalo Bills, my friend, with
Lawyer
Malloy.
You're going way back then, yeah.
With Lawyer Malloy, who had just gone over to the Bills, and then the Patriots end up winning the Super Bowl that year.
And the Bills didn't make the playoffs.
So I just saw something here, too. I don't want to forget to mention it. Not like we want to spend a ton of time talking about kickers or anything like that, but new Packers kicker Gabe Berkich wore number 45, and he was kicking. The reason why is because Mason Crosby is on pup, and we figured out why. He had a minor scope in his right knee during OTAs, and he referred to it as just an oil change. Goal is to be ready by week one, but that's his kicking leg.
Yes, it is. Hey, you know, I wrote this in a story I have up on Pack Report where did my roster picks or whatever. And I said, you know, I did locks and long shots and good bets. And I didn't make Crosby a lock. I called him a good bet. And I said, normally I would have made him a lock, but he is on pup and he's opening the door for this kid. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, I mean, you know, Wally Pipp, if you don't know who Wally Pipp is, Google it.
Right.
But Wally Pipp didn't play with Lou Gehrig, went in and never left the lineup. So well, I'm just saying.
if it's anything of the caliber of a Gehrig, then I'm fine with whoever is taking over.
And again, I'm not writing Mason Crosby off, but what if this kid goes out and just has an unbelievable camp and an unbelievable preseason?
Then sign him up.
You got to think. You got to think
out there,
about
get
it.
Get that big leg out there. Kick it out of the end zone. Make special teams.
Even better.
Yeah, even better than that. I mean, as far as
Crosby, what was the exact quote? I'm hoping to be ready by opening day.
The plan is to be ready. The goal is to be ready by week one.
So that means he won't kick at all in camp.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. And I'm like, I guess you could still put him out there, but I don't know. I mean, you're starting out indoors in a dome week one, which is better than, you know, in any kind of weather, I guess.
For the kid or for Crosby?
For Crosby.
Crosby's bad in domes. He's better outside.
Yeah.
I say it's better for the kid. The kid will have his first game will be in a dome. He won't have any weather factors.
Wind.
I could see Crosby staying on pup for 4 weeks if he's not ready.
And they keep the kid just to see if he can kick.
Well, see how the kid
game.
Is. Now, again, I'm prefacing that by the kid having – if the kid's awful and if he's missing kicks left and right in preseason, no, then you get Crosby. You know what I might – you know, it wouldn't kill him to bring another kicker in for competition for this kid.
Mm-hmm.
Bring one of them other guys back that they got rid of.
Yeah. Hopefully.
J.J. Molson or who was the other guy they had? I forget his name now. Remember they had three guys.
Well, Berkich was the third guy, wasn't he?
No, he was a fourth. They brought him in and they got rid of the other guy. They had somebody that was from Oakland that Bisacci had known from somewhere.
Oh, got it. Yeah, I'm not sure.
He might have got signed, though, by somebody.
Right.
But I think Molson's still out there. I think. I could be wrong.
Well, the Packers may have some options. I'm sure they've already thought about it.
Right. You
know, and they'll figure out what it is.
And they know how bad. I mean, they know more than we do about how severe Crosby, you know. If he's saying the plan is to be ready, and he'll probably be ready by opening day. But again, like I said, the football gods don't smile on the Packers too often. When they say, remember last year at this point, Bakhtiari might be ready by opening day. Yeah, right. Well, he might not be ready by this opening day. A year later, he might not be. So, I mean, we're always hoping guys are ready, and they never seem to be.
Right. Yeah, well.
Now, speaking of special teams, I don't know if you were listening to all of Matt LaFleur, because I know you had to go to work. Did you hear what he said about Rich Bisacci?
About how he's learned a lot about special teams from Bisaccia.
I've learned more special teams than I have in my 3 years.
He qualified and he wanted to make sure that it wasn't a slam at Chaminega or Mo Drayton.
It's too late. He went back and tried to unslam it, but he slammed it. Too late, Matt. You realized what you said and you tried to back off it, and that's okay. Because you had two dopes as your special teams coaches. Three altogether.
Well,
but
you get what you emphasize. I've said it before, exactly. And the Packers are...
You get what you pay for.
I'll tell you what, I don't know how it's going to play out on the field, but they are definitely emphasizing it. In fact, I saw that they spent a healthy amount of that just under hour and a half on special teams yesterday in practice. So that's good. Because, they didn't really focus on it much when McCarthy was here, and I know that it wasn't a huge focus with LaFleur either. And now all of a sudden I think the light bulb went off and it's like, no, you got to practice all three phases if you want to be as competitive as you hope you can be.
No, listen, you're preaching to the choir. I told you, I mean, I'm a John Harbaugh guy and I saw what he did with the Eagles special teams taking that. They were terrible. They were as bad as the Packers. It wasn't as emphasized because the rest of the team wasn't as good. So it wasn't just the one black eye on the team that, you know, but it was bad. It was, they didn't, their return game was bad. The coverage was bad. It was bad. And his first year, they shot right from, you know, 30, 31, 30, whatever they were, to like middle, to 15, 16. And then by the second year, they were top five, and they stayed top five like forever. Getting the right people, getting the right schemes, having a guy that emphasize, and then Andy Reid, give him credit too for giving Harbaugh some say and giving him a bunch. Like I told you back then, it was two practices a day, but a lot of times that second practice would be nothing but special teams. A lot of those second practices, I couldn't say not just some, a lot. Which the players love too, because you know the guys that weren't on special teams got the afternoon off. So they were happy, and then the special teams guys were happy because they had the whole practice to themselves.
Right. Well, even when I was in high school, we did three-a-days, and that's out here in the Phoenix area, which was – and football started in August. So practice started at 4 o'clock, which for those of you who don't know, down in the Phoenix area, 3, 4 o'clock is actually the peak heat of the day. It's not noon like it is in the Midwest. And the middle session was special teams. So we would do defense, take a break, special teams – and then finish out with offense. But you get what you get what you emphasize. I mean, you've got to practice it. You've got to make it part of the culture, make it part of the deal, not just like, oh, these guys are going to go out there and then we'll let the offense do their thing. Like, no, make a play. There's still work to be done on special teams. Get this guy down inside the 20. Make a big tackle. Try to get a fumble. Create a short field. Don't give up a big return or get a big return. Make a huge block. Like you said, spring a guy. Do something. Like, this is not just some also-ran portion of the game. They're going to need to get some production from their special teams. I know that sounds like, you know, maybe a little dramatic, but they do. I think they're going to need it. I think they're going to need it for sure. So,
I agree 100%.
What else as far as Goody, LaFleur, or practice? Did we cover most of it?
I think I covered everything I wanted to.
Yeah. And that was all I had. I noticed the Crosby news, and I thought to myself, man, all these little things. Yeah. Now, we were worried, and we probably weren't feeling great about mid-October in 2010 either. Now, I'm not saying that this is a 2010 team. There were some very, very elite players on that team that the Packers do not have right now. But they could still be a very good football team, despite all the question marks and all the guys on PUP and all the rookies that may or may not
contribute.
Oh,
this is a good team. This is a good team. I mean, it depends on what your ultimate goal is. Mine is, I'm tired of them just being good. Mm-hmm. I want to win another Super Bowl.
Yeah,
they're going to be good. They're going to win the division. They're going to be in the playoffs. It's going to be, like I said, I keep saying this. It's going to be a different kind of good.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to win these. They're not going to go up and down the field and bang, bang, bang. You know. I could be wrong. I'll preface it all the time. This is just my opinion and what I think from looking at things. But the defense, I mean, unless I'm reading this defense is good. The line, I mean, they're good everywhere. The defensive line is as good as it's been in a long time. Especially if Wyatt's what we think he is, and Jerron Reed he's not a bad player, and Kenny Clark, I love Kenny Clark. You have two good outside rushers. You got two good inside linebackers. You got three good corners. You have two good safeties. That's a pretty darn good defense.
Right. Okay. Well, I agree too.
You agree,
my
right?
big thing. I mean, my big thing is not just be great. My big thing is I don't want to hear only if or if only. I don't want to if only again for another season. If only Bakhtiari was healthy, they would have had better protection for Rodgers, and Tampa wouldn't have ruined them 2 years ago. If only they're. Special teams weren't bad and this, or, you know, if only they hadn't, you know, screwed around with the offensive line. Like, it's just do all the things you need to do, make the plays, get it done, and do the best you can. If you don't get there, it's hard. It's hard to win the playoffs. I get it. You know, the Rams might have a great season. Tampa might resurge. Who knows? But don't if only yourself out of another playoffs. That's all I ask.
If only they would have signed Julio Jones.
Oh, jeez. They're still out there. They're still out there. They're going to be fine. So, all right. So, before we wrap it up, we'll have, I mean, obviously, more another week of practice and hopefully some good news and some faces getting back on the practice field by the time we get back together in a week. But what is up at Packer Report now and what is coming up?
So, up now is my, like the story I alluded to earlier, kind of a 53-man prediction, but I break it down position by with locks and good bets and long shots, and it's a fun read, I think. So that's up now. And then coming later today is a column just on what I kind of joked about a little bit about the football gods just not being real kind to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers and the whole Bakhtiari situation and, you know, just what's happened, you know. But again, but I do point this out. I don't want to give the whole story away because I want you to read it. But, they, you know, keep in mind they did win 13 games last year without David Bakhtiari.
Right.
And people who say that they lost in the playoffs because they didn't have Bakhtiari, no, he didn't. And no, Bakhtiari would have had no impact on that game last year.
I don't think against the Niners. The Tampa game, you could, maybe.
Maybe. He wouldn't have covered the pass in the end zone at the end of the half.
Right, no.
He wouldn't have stopped Aaron Jones from fumbling.
But I think I think the team was still shell shocked because that injury was new at that time. That was 2 years ago. Last year, they knew. He wasn't going to play. Although he did play in Detroit for a little bit.
Well, 2 years ago, they beat. They won a game before they lost to Tampa. Who did? I forget who they
Rams.
Beat. Seattle. Oh, the Rams. Right. That's right. Yeah, they beat the Rams without him. I mean, Tampa. They didn't lose because they lost because Kevin King and Mike Pettine screwed up right before the half. They lost because Aaron Jones fumbled. And they lost because Aaron Rodgers wasn't very good in the red zone.
Well, and then last year, Mercedes Lewis fumbles when he never does. It's like, right. You want to talk about the football gods? How about just not letting dumb things happen in the playoffs that didn't happen all during the year?
Mercedes Lewis fumbles. Special teams just did everything wrong. And go back to Tampa. This is a play that only a friend of mine remembers this more than anybody else because he brings it up when I bring up everything else. He's like, you forgot Redmond dropped that ball right in his hands.
Yep.
Before the pass in the end zone, that when King got beat, if Redmond catches a ball thrown right to him, then the Packers have the ball. They're taking an 8.5 over, and that touchdown never happens.
Right.
So, you know. But that's all in the past.
All right. Now that I have a mild case of PTSD, we can go ahead and sign off. Quick Slants podcast will be up at Game On Wisconsin on Monday with more news and Packers nuggets. So go check that out over there. And another good one, Mark. We'll do this again next week. Yep. Thanks, everybody, for riding along with us. If anybody wants to send any weather, if I forgot anybody's weather report, I completely charge it to my head, not my heart. I try to remember everybody's, but send it on over. Happy to read it on the show next week. And in the meantime, everybody, with all this heat and hotness that we've got over across the pond and here in the States, everyone stay cool. Make sure you're drinking plenty of water. And as always, Go Pack Go.